Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, happy Monday night to you folks. We're sure glad you turned in tonight to Raising Expectations. We're so thankful for you, and we always take you as family. And I'm clicking a button there. I am getting to be so high tech at my age, it's very believable because it's not too high. But in any event, we never take it for granted. We thank God for every one of you as you tune in during the week. And we're excited for your responses that come in. And tonight, as you know, we've got a very special guest, and we're excited to share with you. As you all know, we're believers. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for a purpose, to pay for your sins and mine, and to know, give us the ability to understand that those sins are forgiven. They're paid for, and we know we're going to heaven. And beyond that, until that day comes, he's going to walk with us every single day. So it's a great thing to wake up in the morning, thank him for the breath for the day, and watch him work in our lives. So we hope that you'll discover him as your Lord and Savior too. And if you ever have any questions, like some of you do, just feel free to go ahead and text me on that, or any of the team, and we'll sure love to share with you our faith. Meanwhile, back at the station here, we're excited because I'm going to show you our team. You all know the team pretty much, so we'll probably do some changing on that later. But for the meantime, it's important for you to, if you're visiting with us tonight, to know that our team is a great group. It's made up on the West Coast by Dr. Paul Hall, who's in Lompoc, California. There he is. He's a retired pastor, and he is the Lord of Lompoc, and he is the one who gave you a new title. That's a good one, huh, Paul?
That's scary. But yeah.
Anyway, he has been my friend for 55 years, and Paul is a retired pastor, a teacher, a theologian, a lover of God, and a lover of people. Everybody who knows Paul appreciates who he is because he cares about them, and he is a great part of our team, and like I say, a great part of my life too, for all of it, just about, it seems like. So Paul's there in Lompoc, and if we make our way all the way across the nation to the East Coast, but actually the south part of the East Coast, so technically it's the south, and we make our way there to Georgia, we find Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, her husband. And Stephanie, as you well know, is just about the best, we'll say in the world, but we know for sure in the nation, the best health and wellness coach you're ever going to find. And she knows what to eat, how it works, how to take care of yourself. But even more than that, now, the big part of that is what happens on the inside. She has a website. We want to direct you to it. It's called Live Life Out Loud. And God's got a purpose for your life, and coming out of your life, there's a message people want to see just in the way you are with them. She helps women all week long as they text in and work with her. She gives them insight. Most of all, she gives them encouragement because she shares with them a great faith. And it makes a big difference in their lives. We're really excited about what she's doing all the way across the board. Stephanie's a very special lady, and she has a very special man she's married to. And that's the one on her left side. She did a good job on him. I know you picked out who they were already. And like I say, there's never going to be a test, so don't worry. But that's Dr. Craig Thayer. And Craig is a trauma surgeon. He's a great dad. He's a wonderful husband. He is a coach. He is also not just only that, but a trauma surgeon. He's the kind of surgeon who understands what's going on when others don't, and he prays all the time for God to use him in a special way. His first book is out called Saved, and you've got to get a copy, Finding God in the Ordinary. And of course, we like it because that's where we love to find God. I don't know about you, but during the day, I like God to pop up in the ordinary things in my life and say, hey, Joe, this is the way to go. And you'll find a lot of those stories in the book, Saved, the Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. You don't want to miss this. Dr. Craig Thayer, and you can go on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Right next to his book, you'll find my book. Most of you know me. I'm Pastor Joe. I've been around since Moses was finding his way the other side of Sinai, just about. But my book was asked for me to write by Zig Ziglar. And it's a series I preached once from the beginning on faith, legitimate faith, I called it, was his title, out of Hebrews chapter 11. I think it'll touch your life, encourage you and strengthen you, and most of all, remind you that black ink on words mean a lot more than that. They'll pop out and you will see what they're saying to you. So anyway, check that out on bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And also on that page, you'll find all of our folks are listed there, and you'll want to be able to make sure you can read about the folks and what they're doing. And one of the very special folks, I like using Southern terms. How am I doing, Ron? Folks, get that? That's a good one. Our favorite pastor in the whole state of Texas, you'll find he's one of those great folks there. He's in McKinney, Texas. So we'll just jaunt over from Georgia through the southern states there, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, East Texas, and we'll make our way into McKinney. And this is Ron. Ron is a tremendous brother in Christ. He's been a pastor. He is right now a great counselor of men, and he knows his politics too. Ron is a man who's been down a long road, and this guy really knows what he's talking about. We love and appreciate him as a brother in Christ, and actually one of our best friends in the whole world in my whole life. He's there in McKinney, Texas, and he does possess, as I have to say, people ask for it, the greatest bookcase that any of us have. There's his website. You'll find Man in the Mirror based out of Florida, Texas, and it's called Man in the Mirror, Ron Greer, Texas. So the whole state loves him. It's written right there, Ron Greer, Texas. So you want to find out about Ron Greer there and see what he's doing, and then listen in each week as the input from everybody comes in. Hopefully we share from our hearts and our minds, and most of all from the Lord, things that will encourage and strengthen you. Now, as we look at those things, we have a very special guest, and they will be back. Mark your calendar right now on July the 22nd. But why they will be back, I started to turn to what I wrote about, but I'm going to take the time. Elizabeth Allers and her husband Ron are two of the very special people. They're from La Crescenta, California. Ron is a great guy. What a support. What a great mathematician, I understand he is, too. He went to Hoover High School, which is my rival, but he's cool. Anyway, Hoover and Glendale right there, same schools. But Ron and Elizabeth, she has six wonderful kids. They raised them together. Here she is, Elizabeth. Her slogan is her life. Her life is love, lives, liberty, and law. And she has degrees that have equipped her to go with her heart and her love for the Lord. And this is her site. Write this down. It's on the website. It's on the material I put out on all the platforms we're on. We'll share with you a little later. But this is her home site. You can get Elizabeth for Senate 24.com. There it is. You'll want to follow that and be able to jot that down, and we'll bring it back up for you later on. And we want to thank our engineer, TJ Newsom, who does a tremendous job for us each week. And there she is again with a PhD, and she's done so many things. We'll let them share with you. Now, here's an exciting thing that we just discovered tonight. We love discovering. We are very flexible. We're like just pliable, flexible, and we figure out what we'll do once TJ tells us. So TJ shared with us tonight. In Northern California, as you might have read what I wrote to all of you this week on the platforms, they're on the way to Sacramento. We were hoping we could do this from the steps of the Capitol, but I understand from TJ, one of the things that she will work on and will get fixed in California is there's not very good reception in Northern California. I guess whoever put them up aimed them all out to sea. I understand the ship's picking up really well, but you can't pick up very good reception in Northern California. So we will miss seeing Elizabeth and Ron on the picture tonight, but they will be back with us on the 22nd. But the best thing is she's going to share from her heart. She's going to be live on the telephone. So we'll kind of be like a podcast, an ITBM podcast again on the 22nd. Elizabeth is an incredible lady. She has defied the odds, and God shines through her life, and she will make a huge difference when she becomes the next senator in the 25th Senate seat, which is in Southern California, over a million strong. And she's defying all the odds because God's preparing a place for her. So, Elizabeth, if you are there, and TJ, if we're on the right page, we're going to bring you on. And we understand, too, you have a guest coming on later, too. We're really glad to have her share. But we're welcome. Let's welcome Elizabeth right now with a round of applause, the famous round of applause.
I love that round of applause. I can thank you very much. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Joe, and all of you pastors. It's good to be with you again. And actually, what happened to us today? Well, we're traveling from LA County up to Sacramento. We had some delays. There was a truck, like one of those really big produce trucks, and the cantaloupes caught on fire. So we're on the 5 freeway around Modesto now. But we missed the incident, but it really made a backup. So we're so sorry that we can't be actually on the steps at this hour. But we will be there tomorrow. We'll arrive tonight, and then tomorrow we have an all-day meeting with the Senate Republican Caucus at the Capitol buildings. So a few weeks ago, so here, be encouraged, because your prayers are continuing to move things for us. So I don't remember when we were last on with you, Pastor Joe, but sometime between then and now, Senator Brian Jones, the Senate Minority Leader in the California Senate, called me personally and said, "Are you available on July 2nd to meet us up here at the Capitol?" And of course I said, "Yes." But, I didn't really calculate out how all the traveling was going to work. But we're really thankful that Senator Jones has invited certain candidates, not all California candidates, but the ones that he feels can flip their district and win their race. So we'll be up there and making the case, asking the Republican Party to give us some financial support, since we can't flip this district. We want to use every resource and just have, President Trump says too big to rig. If we can get out the vote, too big to rig, and we won't have to worry about the election integrity lawsuits and all of that. But who knows what's coming up, but we just want to be positioned well and take seize every opportunity we've got. So there's a prayer request, is that tomorrow I'm able to speak well to the Republican Senate caucus and the California GOP, and that God will give us favor and they'll give us help. Usually the California GOP prioritizes their funds to help congressional races, competitive congressional races, and they don't usually prioritize the California legislature, which they really should, because this is their state, right? And our state isn't a bad state right now, but California is a trendsetter. So wherever you're listening from, be praying for us in California, because we can flip this district in Los Angeles County. It's the first time in 8 years that it's an open seat. So Pastor Joe, thanks so much for promoting us. And I was getting some great responses from people that heard me on Raising Expectations last time. And one of the women that her heard me on there. She has been a supporter, but after she heard, I guess, my Christian part, she just gave me the biggest hug. And so it's resonating. The Christians are hearing, and the churches really are secret weapon, because only 50% of churchgoers are registered to vote, and then only half of those show up. But if we get those numbers up like they should be, the other side won't know where we came from, because we have the numbers. We just need to meet them, talk to them, and get them out.
Amen. That's right. Ron had a good quote last week. What was it? Around 60% or something, if the whole church would turn out to vote. I'm trying to remember. You gave a...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
If the evangelical church would come out to vote in California, we would be a red state.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would be a biblical state. How's that for a better term?
I like that. Amen.
Yeah, we are a red state. We just have to show up.
Yes.
So tomorrow is Sacramento. And then we've got a fundraiser that Pastor Joe's been so good to promote for us. So raising our own funds on Saturday, July 13th, in Laverne, at a church in Laverne. That Baptist pastor has been so gracious. I spoke to him this morning. He's getting everything ready for us. He can host up to 400 people for dinner there. So we're having Speaker Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute come and give us some California updates on, he's got like a 98% success rate on his cases that he fights for Christian causes. Just so fun to listen to him. And this pastor, he's got his choir all ready for doing patriotic music. So we're going to have a great time. That's July 13th, Saturday. And we're raising the money. We'd love to see like $1 million and a billboard. we will start turning things around in California.
Amen.
Right. Anybody have a question for her?
Well, I think we have the caller that they want to connect.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks.
I think, TJ.
Thank you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yes. My guy called in.
There you go.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I've been listening. Yes. Is there a possibility of getting a message to Beth? Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She's listening. She can hear you.
Hi. I'm here.
She's here, too.
Yeah, Beth, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
I just wanted you to know that our thoughts and prayers are with you as you go forward up to September meeting with the caucus and getting the funding and support that you need.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Amen.
You're quite
Thanks
welcome.
For coming in,
Thank
Karen.
You.
Thanks for the prayers and the support.
Thank you, Karen, for sharing that very much.
You're welcome,
you.
Of course.
Amen.
No, it's Karen. Karen, she's from your area there or someplace else in the state?
Yeah, Karen is from La Crescenta. She's the president of the Republican Women's Club, which is now called Greater La Crescenta Republican Women. That might be Golden State. The name put some Golden State in there. So
okay. Golden State Republican Women.
Yes, thank you, Joe.
That's right.
Yes, they're my launching pad. Back in 2018, when I knew I was going to run for office, I joined that club and told them I'm going to run for office, and they've been with me ever since. So
praise God.
I appreciate them and President Karen so much.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah, I think that she's just a great example of the body of church, right?
Yes.
Put Christ at the head and its members by the body, right? And yes. And hopefully our Christian leaders, like Ron and I would hope that our church leaders would step forward and help guide this body to be a spokesperson for Jesus, you know.
Just, amen.
Be out there and support the people that are supporting the Christian morals and the light, you know, the faith, the gift of eternal life, all those things that Christianity promises.
Amen. Time to stand up. Women, Hank. Yeah.
This had so many opportunities on this campaign to really be an overlap of the governmental sphere and the church sphere, because I have a doctorate in Christian ministry myself, and so, and I have a really big experience in the, you know, the whole gamut of the different streams of the faith, everything from the churches that only use the authorized version of the King James Bible to the prophetic ones, and so I can speak their language. And when I go, I've been able to go into like 3 churches a Sunday, and not every Sunday. Like last Sunday we kind of took a break and we just went to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and that was it. But we have open doors in the churches, and it's been fun. It's been fun to go both ways. To do, you know, in the revolutionary times, they had the Black Robe Regiment, where the pastors were teaching the people principles of freedom, and then leading them to go out and fight in the militias. And so my campaign manager told me, now I'm doing the opposite. I'm going from the political world and going into the churches and telling pastors, okay, now the pastors have to fight. But, you know, it's helpful both ways, and it's going to coincide with revival and reformation in these coming years. So there's like no wasted effort.
Yes. Elizabeth, there's a church in Pasadena, and again, the Golden State, California Golden State Republican Women, Janet, who's the president there, her daughter goes there. It's a large church, and I was interested because the Thayers gave me a book years ago from Chen, a pastor named, did I get it right, Steph?
Francis Chan.
Close, yeah. A to E. Yeah, sorry. And I believe he might be the pastor there. And it used to be Armstrong's place, Ron, but now they're meeting there, and in fact, we're excited because Janet was baptized as a Presbyterian child. She got baptized yesterday there.
And, wow!
By immersion, it was important to her.
Right.
And so she's raising your flag all over the place there.
Oh, thank you, Janet. I know we need to meet soon because I Joe tells me all the time that you're praying and supporting. So thank you, Janet. And that church in Pasadena, maybe Harvest Rock Church, yes. With Pastor Che On. And yes, Pastor Che On has been very, so supportive all the way from the beginning. And it was through his seminary that I really learned about a Christian calling into all 7 spheres of influence. And you know that we do need to get out of the church and to really bring the kingdom everywhere. Because kingdom can be thought of as bigger than church, right? So I also serve on town council in La Crescenta, and we had our hometown country fair a few Saturdays ago, and the booth that was right next to us has an organization called Impact Foundation and CB Cares, and they really want to reach the high schools, the local high school students, in a way that they won't die from fentanyl overdose. And there's a coalition connected, and I really wanted the local churches to be involved in that, because I think that the kids aren't listening when you just say don't do drugs. But this community group, they're trying to like do counseling for the stress of the kids that lead them to drugs, or counseling for the peer pressure issues that lead them to drugs and addiction. And that's really a realm that we as Christians need to be leaders in. And so I was talking to this secular group that wants to keep the high schoolers from dying of fentanyl. And I then went to some of our local churches and asked if they would be interested in being on this secular coalition, because you know, we need to be out there doing it, reading it, really, because we have the answer to all of the heart conditions of depression and stress, et cetera, anxiety. But I was a little disappointed because the pastor said, well, you'd have to understand, Elizabeth, that our focus is to bring people into the church. And I tried to express that, yes, the answers are in the church, but the church has to go outside the church and show the people that we have the answers to their problems.
Yes.
And eventually, you know, of course, we want them to come to know the Lord and then get discipled inside the church. But I feel like, wow, you know, since I'm running for state senate, I go talk to these pastors, and it's kind of like I feel like I'm going inside out, but it's but it's fun.
Ron, you had a question I could tell.
No, I wanted to know: do you have a coordinator or something that coordinates your visits to churches and the schedule those, or that's something you're doing on your own, you and Ron?
Yeah, me and Ron, my campaign manager, and basically God has just been opening doors, so I go wherever there's an open door. So if any of you know of a church, know of a pastor that you could introduce me to, or you attend a church and you could invite me in and on a Sunday introduce me to the pastor, or some of the pastors, I've just made an appointment in the middle of the week and they can vet me. Sometimes I go to they have like a pregnancy crisis fundraiser. Right. I go there and then I meet a lot of pastors. Okay. And then I just show up and I say, hey, I met you at the options fundraiser. So I just go where God opens the doors, and it's been keeping me busy.
Oh, good. Praise God. Because it's one of those things where it's always a hard nut to crack, getting in churches. But it, you know, as we said before, most effective numbers around that could actually impact something. I just think it's one of those satanic things where you have God's folk who have the most impact, have the potential to most impact, but are the least likely to be involved and least likely to even understand the issues. But I also know that again, a valuable resource if you can get in there, but I don't know, it seems like things are going well. I just love to see somebody coordinate that on every week in another different church.
That would be great. Okay. There's another prayer request. Pray that a church visiting coordinator comes in.
Yeah. But again, because that's it's one of the things that we found to be effective in a number of campaigns back in the day, because you know the biggest problem with churches is that they've disconnected and isolated themselves, so they're sort of disconnected from the issues at hand in a lot of cases, disconnected from the market square, and that sometimes it's just a matter of coming in, lighting a fire underneath them, and sort of explaining to them how critical it is for them to be involved, how those things impact their parishioners, and how it eventually impacts the church. Because for 40 or 50 years, they've ignored that, and now that the barbarians are at the gate, at the doors, beating on the doors.
Yeah. One way I expressed it to one of the pastors was that, you know, in China, there's 100 million Christians. A significant chunk of the population are born again. But it's because they have no voice in government policy.
Yes.
Their pastors can be forced to abort their own babies at 9 months old.
Yes.
I mean, 9 months gestation pregnancy. So even when you have a huge revival going on spiritually, if you don't have a voice in public policy and governmental matters, your own people will be forced to have abortions.
Yes.
You know, we're not at that point here in the United States, and we never want to get to that point.
Yes.
But we need to start now getting into the positions where we have the voice of influence.
Yes.
To
yes.
Prevent genocide.
Yeah. I think, and I again, I think that's a very good example of what happens when the church sort of disengages, because. But I'm not sure if you're old enough to remember, but back in the early 60s and 50s, late 50s, early 60s, that was one of the sort of things that Mao Zedong and his revolution capitalized on. It was just a weak church that at one time been a very powerful force in China. And you ask, okay, how is that possible? Primarily because they disengaged at one point. So it's a good example for churches here. I mean, and it's not far fetched, you know, if you look at just some of the issues that have taken place in the last few years, for churches to understand that you're in the crosshairs. If you're not involved in the political process, the political process will be involved in your church.
Amen.
Here's something that I was just reading today while I'm in the car and Ron's driving, about California schools being called community schools. So this is something that Governor Newsom's pushing, where the schools, the public schools, are going to be the center for health care without any parental input, and all kinds of social programs, and these community schools will be like the hub of the child's life, and they want the school to be the child's family.
Yes.
And if it's all at the, if everything happens at the school, all the child's decisions are made at the school, the government is now the parent of the child. That is communism, right?
That's California Assembly Bill 1955. And when it was supposed to be on the ballot coming up in the next election, they were afraid. They had 1.4 million people. You probably know this, Elizabeth, but somebody in our audience might not. They had 1.4 million signatures to put that on the ballot coming up in November. And they were so afraid of it, much like the people that we know in Washington. They decided that the Supreme Court of California just nixed the whole thing. They decided they were not going to have it out there and put on the bill. And, of course, there was a huge wave last Thursday. I helped send stuff out for Janet to... call and make a wave asking Newsom to veto it, but I don't think that's the likelihood at all. So, and what Ron was saying here is that's exactly what's going on. You will have no say whatsoever in your kids. They can transgender, they can do anything they want, and they have no right to tell you. And if you push your prerogatives or push to find out what's going on, they will put you in jail.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, Ron and we've been married 34 years. We have 6 children, and I homeschooled them all the way through high school. We graduated them early, 16 or 17 years old. They've all gone through college. Two of them are still in the process. But so The main reason why we homeschooled was because I wanted our children to be leaders in their generation, and it was really the homeschooling process starting 30 years ago that trained me to run for office. We had some great state homeschool leaders, Michael Ferris and Michael Smith of Christian Home Education Educating Association, CHEA of California. Yes. They did these legislative updates every year at the homeschooling convention, and they really discipled me and taught me, trained me how to look at legislation and be active and go up to Sacramento and lobby the legislatures on behalf of families and school choice and educational freedom and the rights of parents to not just educate their children, but to have all the decision-making authority that God's given parents. So interestingly, that was my road to the Capitol, was through homeschooling and advocacy for families and parents. So that's why one of my other slogan is, this is our time. Because 30 years ago when I started that, who would have thought we'd be here at this point where homeschooling is a recognized option, and it's a critical time for our students, our children, and our families in the public schools.
Yes. Absolutely.
Stephanie is a great homeschool mom too. Go ahead, tell her, Steph, what you
do. Oh, I don't know if you can see me because I know you guys are driving and it's weird on the phone, but I'm like shaking my head and putting my arms up. Yes, yes, yes. Because the only time I have ever gone to the Capitol for any law making activities was to fight for homeschooling.
Amen.
And so when I would be there, I would learn about other things going on. And then I just go down the hallway to another room. Right. And so I understand what you're saying. And I went to those same homeschool conventions a few years after you started. And then I started, but I think God has a great sense of humor of how he puts things in front of us. And we go down that path because we know it's the right thing. And then at the same time, he's starting to give you exposure to other things that he's going to use you later for. And I just wanted to point out that one of my favorite things about talking with you last time, which was in February, was about how you really have a mission perspective, how you approach people rather than a politician perspective. And it's refreshing, and it's something that California needs. And I agree with you, you know, we left that state 3 years ago. It's all I knew. And we were in a very conservative, wholesome, amazing place. And if they would rise up and vote, it would be a very, very different state.
Amen. California has a leadership DNA. And also, I think California is like, has this kind of, you know, like the Hollywood flashy enthusiasm to say like, hey, this is cool. And I think a lot of the, you know, homeschooling back in the 1980s, like Michael Smith was here in California, and probably Michael Ferris too. And so it's sort of like trendsetting in so many ways, and we can do it again. And I feel like this is our time. And so, Stacy, thank you for that encouragement, and yay, homeschool moms. I think that it's good that it's kind of nice now that when I tell people I homeschooled my children, they're like, wow, that's amazing. They give me congratulations. They seem to understand that it takes a lot of everything to be successful in homeschooling, and even, you know, even to try it, even if you can only do it a year, it takes a lot of courage. But you know, when we started, I didn't really tell people that I homeschooled until I had something to show for. But yeah, because it was it was, you know, like we had a bad stigma, you know, it's like, I don't know, but now, you know, it's a badge of honor, so.
Amen.
Want to add, because I mean, I grew up in a public school, and I think it was Stephanie's biggest argument.
It was
like, I'm a product of public schools.
Yeah.
26 years worth. And we would just go, but then I realized, you know, it's not the same as it was when I grew up.
No.
It's actually dangerous. It's like, we have 5 kids, 3 of them on public. They got out just in time to not be exposed to Common Core, which is stupid. And it's known to be stupid. I mean, when teachers ask the question, so we have kids that fail and they go to a failure classroom. What do you have when those kids are failing? And they had no answer. So it's like there was just nothing there. And then when you, the first 2 years, it's pass, near pass, and fail. What? It's pass, fail. What are these grades, right? So who are you fooling? And just for the listeners, our first homeschooler out got into UGA and Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in mechanical engineering. So homeschoolers get good schools.
I was going to say there's a lot of myths because homeschoolers are taken out of like
higher rates. Isolated, they're really geeks, you know, whatever.
Even at the high level schools. And fun fact, because I know Elizabeth will like this, at one of the homeschool conventions that I was at, my girlfriend really wanted me to sit down and listen to this Catholic guy that I didn't know who he was and he wasn't popular yet. And that was Matt Walsh. And so it was funny now because Matt Walsh is huge, but he was homeschooled. And so, you know, that community, there's a lot of people that love their family, that want to see community thrive, that want to be involved. And so,
love Matt Walsh. And so if anybody out there listening has homeschool connections, hey, get your kids working for a campaign.
That's true.
Yeah, we can save a lot of money by volunteers that have the energy and the usefulness to get out their door knocking.
Amen.
I have to endorse that one.
That's a great idea.
My congressional campaign, the one that I shocked everybody on, was full of a whole bunch of homeschoolers who came out. And to this day, matter of fact, I'm going to Wisconsin on my annual trip. And a number of those people are homeschool families that I still have a relationship with to this day. Mm-hmm. Amazing people. They were amazing on campaign.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. That is something. Well, tell us about so we could be praying. I think the big one you have coming, you mentioned a little bit, is the 13th of July. Make sure everybody gets that down to get that right.
Yes, Saturday, July 13th, we're hoping to raise a lot of funds. And if you're not in the area, you can go online and sponsor someone else to come. It's $75 a seat. And it'll be a really great night, patriotic and informative and fun, and we've got music. So that's Saturday, July 13th in La Verne, California. Tomorrow's my Sacramento Capital Day. This week for 4th of July, I think I've got, you know, parades and stuff all over the place. So it's really fun. And I've got, my website is ElizabethForSenate24.com, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Elizabeth Wong Allers on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And we try to keep up posting where I'm going to be and what we're doing. So
that's great. TJ is scrolling for you right now. Everybody's looking at what you're saying. Go ahead.
Thank you, TJ. And also on July 13th, we're going to have a a relaunch of the website. We're having it upgraded some, and some great church volunteers are helping us upgrade our website there. I don't know if you were able to hear me, but I was going to mention that there's a bill going through California about homework. They want to regulate homework for public school children because they don't want students to be too stressed out. And at the same time that they're trying to regulate homework and homework stress, the budget deficit is so deep. I don't know if it's $20 billion, but they're educational funding, which is putting out some of the programs that are going to help the kids. And so now the kids that are like 2 years behind from COVID, closing
Well, we're going to take a quick break for a second here. We'll get the signal in a little better. Ladies and gentlemen, we sure want you to see what Elizabeth is saying. Actually, you can't see it. You can hear it. And check the websites, TJ.
They don't have these
poor thing.
Yeah, she'll be right back. We take just a minute. TJ, let her know we're taking...
There's the mess on both, one of the highest per child in education.
Bummer.
Awesome. TJ, why don't you have her muted? That's great. Yeah. Okay. We'll go do our end of. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to talk and then we'll bring her back and hopefully she can hear. We are so glad that you hang out with us every week. We love you guys. We're thankful for you. Thank you for just being a part of this family. You can stay connected with us at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can find all the things there are to find out there, including how to give, how to listen live, how to listen to recordings, how to find out about each one of us and where to connect with us. And so we would just love for you to stay plugged in with us, right? The more plugged in we are, the better we all are together. And you can actually listen to Elizabeth's first show with us, which was on February 19th of this year, if you're interested, in that section. And then we thank you. We appreciate your donations. We appreciate you listening and sharing about us. All of that goes a long way. And then maybe we can unmute Elizabeth and see if she's back in service.
I want to make one announcement too. Yeah, that's right. I want you all to know, mark your calendars too, coming up here in the next 2 weeks on the, I think it's the 8th and the 15th, Dr. Thayer, Tank, Craig, and his wife that you have learned to grow to love like we all do, they're going to be bringing a very special 2 weeks on a subject that we all deal with, and that's I should remember the title. I didn't write it down. I don't want to get in the middle of it, but it's
mental health and grace.
What was it again, Steph? I love
mental
it.
Mental health and grace.
Yes, thank you. General health and grace, and how that all comes together. So you're going to get a medical insight, and part of that's on memory. So I'm going to make sure I'm on that section listening really well.
Basically mentally ill.
There we go. Yeah. I picked the first one. So anyway, hey guys, it's going to be great. So tune in, because we're facing so many things and they're not teaching some things, and you're going to hear some good things that come from great minds and a great heart. There's not a better doctor in the United States than Craig there. He just is. So you need to let him. He won't say that, so we will.
I pay him well.
Yeah, right. He really is. And that'll be coming next week. And then the week after that, on the 22nd, in person, you'll be able to see Elizabeth will be back and report on what's happening and some other things that we can do on there. So, TJ, I'm sorry, but we're in good shape now, folks. Truly, if you can help raising expectations, any little bit you can give sure will help us in expenses that we've got. We're going to do some new things. I can't wait to tell the team here. But it's going to take a little bit. If you can help us a little bit, we can get out and help a little bit more for everybody. TJ, if you're there again, thanks, my friend. You can bring her back if we got her on a tower. And we'll let her get a final real report statement in.
Hey, can you hear me?
There we
go.
go.
Hey,
Hi.
there you
No,
are.
I want to let you know that while we're driving through here, I'm looking at cows, grass-fed cows. We just crossed over the California Aqueduct with beautiful California water from the rains this year and the farmlands. And we've got a beautiful state here. God's goodness is just so generous. And we want to steward it well. And so that's what we're running for, to steward our state of California well. And so
Amen.
thank you so much for having us on, Pastor Joe. And we're looking forward to giving you an update on July 22nd. Thanks
Amen.
for all the prayers.
Amen.
We'll be praying for you tomorrow morning and when you meet with the senators, and it's going to be great. Ron pitched in a little bit on the show here. He's rented the Goodyear blimp and he's flying it over to say, "Yay, Elizabeth supporter." Should be really good. So hope that tell your Ron that might help out. When we get your Ron and our Ron together, we really have fun. So in any event, folks, pray. See how you can support. And Elizabeth and Ron, thank you for coming in on the phone this way. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the 22nd. God bless. Keep you. Get a good night's rest. And tomorrow's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you.
Drive safe.
All right. And one good news for you tonight, folks, as we get ready to sign off here, we got 60 seconds. I just want to once again tell you that you're looking at the greatest team that's anywhere in any podcast or show anywhere. These are very, very special people. Somebody asked the other day if Paul was praying. I said, "No, he's writing," because he's our scribe. Don't forget. I said, "But he's so good, he probably can pray and write at the same time." I'm not sure. I've seen him, do that at schools. Anyway, tonight we're gonna leave you with our prayers. We're gonna leave you asking God to bless you and to take care of you and to watch over you as you go. Stay connected with Him. Wake up in the morning. Spend time alone with Him. Get into His Word. I mean, if you're hungry for answers, it's like somebody who's hungry never opening the refrigerator. Open the Bible. Watch what God can say to you. And you don't have to be reading 46 chapters in a day. Somebody asked Chuck Swindoll once, "How do you know so much? What do you do in this?" He said, "Every morning I have a cup of coffee and I read about six or seven verses and I ask God to tell me what that means in my life that day." Try it. It works. It'll be good. All right. We'll see you all next week. God bless and keep you. And tonight Ron is with us, so we're going to go out in the famous Raising Expectations way, wishing you a
happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you
Thanks.
until we meet again.
Thanks, Ron. It's a
God
blessing.
bless you.
Okay, God bless you guys. See you next week. God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.